Okay. Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we just had our dinner and we are now back. We are supposed to have 30 minutes of formal sitting meditation and 50 minutes of walking and bowing. So walking and bowing is to build up your mindfulness. When you walk, just walk. Maintain awareness. That's it. No need to like slow down, do all those things. No need. Because when you start to verbalize and slow down, you cannot be mindful. You just walk. Walk naturally. You have to walk until body and mind become one. Your awareness and your movement become one until there is no thought. You just do it. Then the best way of walking is you no need to do all those vipassana type where they teach you standing, intending to turn, intending. Forget about all those labeling. You just walk. Then the turning is very simple. You know how to do it. Maybe I will show it to you all. So what you need is just a natural posture, stand. Then relax body and mind. Then just walk naturally. Walking aware, like the Buddha said. Standing aware. Aware means there is an awareness inside your mind. That's all. You are aware of your posture. Aware means the mind without thought is aware. Then when you walk, the body and mind move as one. There is awareness. No need to know. No need to verbalize. Just walk. Oh, I better use the wireless. Where's the wireless? So when you walk, you just walk, okay? You just walk. Then when you reach the end, what you do is, this step go forward, then you turn, understand? Then you can walk backward. Yeah, you just walk on it. That's why you don't have to do that slow turning. Just step, turn, then go. You just walk. So walking, aware. Standing, aware. Sitting, aware. Lying down, aware. This is what they call the four posture. The four posture is to maintain awareness. But this is dynamic. So this one is not so easy. The walking meditation, that's why a lot of people find it so difficult. They slow it down. Slow it down actually is not the correct way to do. Because when you live life, you have to walk at normal pace in there. Correct? You cannot be in the office standing, intending to walk. I tell you, your boss will give you a love letter and fire you. You cannot be doing all those things. You have to be mindful in the midst of normal pace in life. Mindfulness is not something that you cannot do it at the fast speed. In fact, when you are mindful, your mind is silent. No matter how fast, your awareness can be with it. That's what mindfulness is all about. But because you are not used to it, you have a lot of thought, a lot of thinking. And that is the reason why you can't be mindful in the midst of life. You realize you think a lot. Every moment you think, everything you do also you need thought to make it happen. That is the old, heedless way of living life. But when you understand, when you are able to be mindful in the midst of life, then you can immediately with the understanding change over to a heedful way of living life. When you are heedful, you seldom think, you hardly think. You only arise a thought when you need to. When you don't need to, it's quiet, silent. That's why the enlightened being, they are most of the time without thought. They are just aware. Yeah. But thought is useful. You need thought to live life, to communicate with people, to arise the communication. Otherwise, you cannot. Because to live life, we need to arise the thought, the speech, and all those things. But when you live, you don't have to. When you are alone doing your routine, you don't really need to talk or arise a thought because you are not engaged with people. When you are engaged with people, you need to communicate, you need to express, you need to manifest, you need to explain, and then you use thought. Otherwise, thought is not something necessary. Then the other easier way is bow. Bowing is very easy. Yeah. You can just bow, like your normal 5-point prostration. Then you can just chant Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Then you bow. But some, if you want to have more faith in Sakyamuni, homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, then you bow. Yeah. But that one, too long. By the time you chant, then you bow, then your mindfulness is not continuous. But you can, no need to verbalize through your heart, your understanding, homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, then you bow. Yeah. The Mandarin version is easier. When my whole family took refuge under Master Xuan Hua, he teaches this Namo Pen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. So every time we do, it's just like homage to the Blessed One. Or homage to the Sakyamuni Buddha. Finish. Then one bow. Then come out. Then one bow again. Then you do it continuously. You bow until suddenly you realize the body and mind move as one, without word. Then all of a sudden you understand what sati is, where you are in sati. Even walking also same. You walk until body and mind as one. Your form and mind will know one. No. That the awareness and the kaya is one. No. That is what the Buddha meant in the kaya nupassana, the first foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of kaya. There are 6 categories of training under kaya nupassana. The first category is to train your mindfulness. He used anapanasati. That's why after you develop the ability to be mindful using anapanasati, means that mindfulness has stabilized until you are able to be aware of your in and out breath, means you have developed some form of stability of mindfulness. After you have developed that, then you can move on to the next category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the 4 posture. How many of you not familiar with 4 foundation of mindfulness? You heard of 4 foundation of mindfulness, huh? You heard of it, huh? You heard of it, huh? You? Richard. Oh, you also heard of it. That's easy to teach you. You know the first foundation is that kaya nupassana. There are 6 categories. Can recall the 6 or not? The first 3 is most important. First one is mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati. Then after that, mindfulness of the 4 posture. The 4 posture are easy to understand because this 4 posture is just standing, walking, sitting, and lying down. And these are the 4 postures you need to alternate around. Sometimes you sit, sometimes you walk, sometimes you just stand. Then sometimes you lie down when you want to sleep or when you want to rest. But the connecting movement between the four postures. That is the difficult one. So the third category of training is after you can be mindful of the four postures, then the Buddha said, you must do the daily mindfulness. He called it sati sampajana. Means you must be mindful and you have clear comprehension of this mindfulness training. And there are four aspects of clear comprehension that you need to understand. First is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Your purpose to train your mind to be mindful is to develop the heedfulness to meditate and to develop the understanding of the Dhamma, then awaken to the truth and realize the enlightenment. That is the only sincerity of purpose. But if you want to do this, to have psychic ability, to have special power, to show off, these are not the sincere purpose. So that one is very important. Sincerity of purpose means you just do to train your mind so that it's heedful, then you are destined for enlightenment. Then the second is the domain of meditation. Domain of meditation means you must understand meditation is not about sitting alone. If sitting alone can make you enlightened, then you can go and check with the Mahayana say. He said the toad or the frog, they every day sit in a, they should be arahant by now, where they sit a lot. So meditation is not about sitting. Meditation can be done in all posture, like the Buddha said, in your daily life, in the four posture, in whatever mode of transportation you may be in, you can still be mindful, aware, heedful, and that is meditation. So the domain of meditation will prevent you from being deluded or gullible. Well, a lot of people give this type of reason when you ask that, hey, do you meditate? He said, yeah, once a while. Then somebody, hey, want to go for a retreat? Cannot, I cannot take leave, I still need to work. I got time. He said, so all this is don't having the understanding of the domain of meditation. You can be working in the midst of your career life or in the midst of your household life. And yet, you can be in a meditative state. That is what the Buddha meant by meditation is life itself. The Noble Eightfold Path is life itself. And mindfulness of the four postures, the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, they are all involving our life. So this has to be done in the midst of life. Any place, anywhere, any posture. So you don't go and give excuse, I wait till I retire, then I go full time. But you never retire. Because you say, I still need to work. After you already have your financial freedom, you say, cannot, my child, my son still studying. I still need to find money to sponsor him or her. Then you want to do MBA, you know. Then like Sui An, I want to do PhD, you know. Then like Richard, hey, my grandchildren or education, or I still need to look for money. This is all the thought giving excuse, understand? Because meditation is not about when you want to meditate. If you understand meditation can be done in any posture, anywhere, anytime, you just do it. No need to give excuse. Yeah. Then the third one is clear comprehension of suitability. Means suitability means the most important time to meditate is now. The most important people are the people you are with at this present moment. Yeah. So suitability is very important. A lot of people, the thought will project on it. Your last time my retreat is better. Oh, the teacher also better, the people there also better. Then What are you here for? You are here for not to learn how to meditate, not to listen, not to understand, complain. Yes or not? So this is not understanding the suitability. The most important time is now. The most important place is here. The most important people are the people around you. So make full use of it. The analogy that I always give is, we always hear of this when we are in the school. You know, when we did well, or when we don't do well, you know what they say? That school, my father sent me to that school. He has sent me to the best school, I would have become different. No? If he sent me to VI, Oxford, you think I cannot? I also can. But do you realize one fault in this argument or not? I always tell people, it's nothing to do with the school. That school also got good student and bad student, isn't it? Correct or not? That school is the school that you have been sent, and that's how you got no other choice. So it's nothing to do with the school. The teacher is the same. Everything is the same. How come there are good students, there are bad students? There are lousy students. It's not the school and the teacher. It's you. If you are serious and you really want to study and you really want to come out, you will do it. I came from a very rural school, Alostar. They say very ulu one. And in my hometown, the small town, you can hardly find anybody who passed Form 3 last time, during my time. You pass Form 3, you already somebody. Pass Form 5 is like a very rare gem already. So that type of environment also, I can end up going to MU and becoming a civil engineer and all that. So it's not about you. It's not about the school. It's about you. So meditation is the same. If you believe you can, make full use of it. That is what sincerity or suitability is all about. Clear comprehension of suitability is all about. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Means when you progress in your meditation, when you have certain experiences of a good mind state, like you have developed mindfulness, you are able to be mindful most of the time, sometimes throughout the day. Then the thought came. I remember the book say, or sometimes Brother Theo say, when you are enlightened or when you are arahana, you are throughout the day mindful. Oh, now I got it already. I can already. Then what happened? You think. The thought say you are an arahant. But the thought say, you are not the real one. So what happened? He become complacent. Then he want to share. He want to teach. He want to do a lot of things. And this is what clear comprehension or non-delusion is all about. Where the 10 defilements of insight, they will trap you if you are not careful. Especially the one on obasa. You heard of this word or not, obasa? When you meditate, you can have this nimitta. You can see light and all those things. Then it manifests into brightness and all those things. Then you think you already achieved or realize, then they tell you you want jnana, what jnana. Then you get yourself carried away and you become complacent. The moment you become complacent, the defilement of insight catch you and you cannot progress, you stagnate. So these are the four clear comprehensions. So mindfulness, when you do that sati sampajana, you have to develop it until the four clear comprehension is there. Then you progress very fast. And that daily mindfulness is the most important. Not until you hit that, you cannot move on to the four foundations of mindfulness. It's stated in the Avijja Sutta. Avijja Sutta mentioned it very clearly. There are 10 steps that can lead to enlightenment, the Buddha said. The first step is to have Kayanamitta, Dhamma friends, who walks the path of Dhamma, who cultivate Dhamma. So when you have Dhamma friends, you will move on to the second step. You will have opportunity to listen to Dhamma. So that is the second one. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you develop faith. You straighten your view. Then you follow the teaching. You switch over to become heedful instead of heedless. Then your life starts to improve. Then you develop the straightening of view. The straightening of view will come when you have the faith, when you have the understanding. Then you know this is wrong, wrong thought. You abandon it. Then you straighten your view to develop the wisdom, not to stir your mind, not to react, not to create mental hindrance. That's how you become more peaceful, more calm. Every moment of sense experience, you don't react anymore. Then you are at peace. That's why it doesn't stir, it doesn't think, it doesn't have the mental hindrance. So you are at peace. That's why you will have more and more moments of peacefulness, awareness, calmness. Your mind becomes more quiet as you progress, because you have less wrong view. So the fourth step will be developing the initial wisdom to straighten your view, which is yoniso manasikara. So the Buddha said, when you have yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom developed, then you will have the ability to develop the sense restraint. Because by then, you already have the understanding. So the sense restraint is there. Then the sense restraint will lead to the three types of right conduct. Yeah. But before that, after you have the initial wisdom, your mindfulness become more, you can develop sati sampajana. Means, just now I mentioned the third category of cultivation. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Yeah. When you develop that, your mindfulness will enable you to see your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, or the wrong thought, the mental hindrance. You see them in your meditation because you have mindfulness, you are aware. That's why you can do awareness meditation, sati. So this type of initial wisdom will allow you to straighten your view, reduce your heedless thinking, maintain more moment of awareness, then you can keep your precept. Because when you can see your evil roots, your mental intention, your mental negativity, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, then you can arise the four right effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising, and to apply the right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to cultivate and perfect, bring to perfection the right thought that is already in you. So once you do that, you will have sense restraint. Means your sixth sense door, you cannot behave like a normal person anymore. You cannot stir, react and get angry, emotional, fearful, no more. So once you have this ability, the next step is you will have the three way of right conduct. That's how you can arise the right speech, right action and right thought. No more problem. Only after this step, the Buddha said, can you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Because under the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha always have this beginning statement. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you develop mindfulness of whatever that is spoken in the sutta. So how to overcome covetousness and grief? Means you must have the initial wisdom. You must have the daily mindfulness, the sense restraint, and the three way of right conduct. And then only you can do this. So when you start to develop this, then the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Means you know you're on the right path. Otherwise, the factor of enlightenment cannot arise. And that is the ninth step. When the factor of enlightenment arises, the Buddha say, automatically, it will bring you to the tenth step. The tenth step is, with the awakening, you realize the enlightenment. So this tenth step involves that sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. That's why this kaya nupasana, the first three you must do. Then the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth, is to help people with certain character, that need all this. The next one is mindfulness of the four elements. Your physical body is made out of the four elements. Yeah, they are only elements, nothing else. No knowing, cannot be you. The other one, the fifth one, is mindfulness of the 32 parts. So this body also make up of all the various parts. When they come together, perform a function, then you give it a name, a human being. Like the bullock cart analogy the Buddha told the monk. When you take all the components apart, he asked the monk, where is the bullock cart? No more. Then he said, assemble back. So when all the parts come together, it perform a function, then you give it a name, bullock cart. Then arise already, exist already. So this is what the Buddha meant by the bullock cart is unreal, dependent originating, conditioned, right? When condition come together, perform a function, it become a bullock cart. The human being also same. They are not real. They are conditioned arising, dependent originating. So when you understand this, you can develop the understanding of the three characteristics faster. Then the last one is for people with lustful character. Mindfulness of the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition, how your body degenerates after you die. So when you see that, you realize when this human body is devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature. Then that time you see how the dead body, how the thing bloat, then how it decay, then how all the fluid get drained out, then how the appearance get deformed, then later on left with bone, then after that the bone also gone and become dust, and all those things. So that stages of decomposition will allow you to reflect, develop the understanding that without consciousness, when this form is devoid of consciousness, it is going to go the way of nature. It will not help you. And you will not attach and cling. That's why your lustful character or craving for beautiful form, when you see this, you wake up. It's not what you think underneath that skin. It's just a skin bag full of all this impurity. Then the 32 parts, sometimes they also talk about the impurity, the urine, the pus, the sinus, the blood and all those things. Outside with the skin, with the makeup, it look beautiful, maybe attractive. But when you look deep inside, everything is not what you think. So that is to remove the lust, the delusion and all those things. So this is the part that I want you to develop the understanding. So after Kayanupassana, you can actually progress to heedfulness straight away. That's either walking or bowing. So in future, I will not explain anymore because this particular retreat, there are some new people. And it may also benefit the old people. So what you need to do is when you walk and you bow, or whatever mindfulness exercise that you do, tomorrow morning we will have the mindfulness exercise. Then I will elaborate on it some more, then you will understand. It is good for your health and good for your cultivation of daily mindfulness. Well, all these can be converted into daily mindfulness for you to develop the training. And I remember last time when I was cultivating, I always move my hand. It's like I got mudra, but it's actually not mudra. It's to stimulate my mindfulness. For no reason, I will just move my hand. And it's very mindful. Then when I walk, I just move my mudra. Because this is to develop mindfulness. Then when I silent, it's just aware. This is how you develop your daily mindfulness. But when your mind enters the tea, then all this become very easy. But before that, you want to develop it, you have to do the bowing, you have to do the walking consistently. with faith, with understanding, with diligence, you just do. Do until the mindfulness come. Always remember, when the mindfulness come, the form and mind will know. Because that form and mind is in that state of sati. I still remember when I bow until the sati come, then all of a sudden I realize there was nobody bowing. The awareness and the form, physical body, move as one. Just like that, automatic, no thought. That's why I know what sati is. Then after that, I realize everything I do is in sati. Every movement, every action. Then like the Buddha say, standing, aware, looking forward, aware, bending, turning, stretching, aware, answering nature's call, aware, putting on the shoulder cloth, the monk's robe, everything, aware. This is how you develop it. That's why ever mindful throughout the day. And when you do it, after you have it, when the awareness comes, then the direct seeing is automatic. When your mind is in sati, you can see things as they are. You can see through. You can awaken the truth. Then you will understand things very fast. The Dhamma, everything. Yeah. It's like telling you, you don't need teacher anymore after that. When you are heedful, the heedfulness will actually show it to you very clearly. All this. Then, because you know the teaching, the Dhamma, you can relate to it very fast, and you can understand and awaken very fast. What you need is heedfulness, ever mindful, to cultivate this. Okay, what's the time now? So I have to reverse it. Yeah? Okay, I'm supposed to Now? Oh, okay. Just over 4 minutes. So maybe now you can do your meditation. Yeah? I give you half an hour. Yeah? You can do your formal sitting and lying down. Then after that, the evening chanting at 7:45, I will start the evening chanting. Yeah? That one is just a simple one. Then we can have our last session. Okay, we are off the light. Then you can have your formal sitting meditation. Then you want to walk, you walk. You want to lie down, you lie down. Okay, I will meditate with you. Because there are some, I think, they want people to lead. And sometimes they see me not around, they also go and walk. Or they go somewhere. But when they see me around, they dare not run out. It's like in Parliament, the king says, duduk, jangan lari. So now you duduk, jangan lari. So you can develop your meditation. I set the alarm now. Okay. 25 minutes off the light. Just the three. Somehow, the other three, the other side, the other panel, nearer my side here. No, this three also.